I'll just take a look. Before I say that I appreciate you being here, thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to church. Thank you for coming from the distance that you've come, some of you. And those that will receive a tape, we thank you from Uruguay, Argentina, Panama, Australia, Cambodia, praying for us, love in Irene. I got a call on my entrance service last night from a dear family, Sydney, Australia. And all through our lives, since Christ came into our life, we've had opportunity to meet people and make friends for eternity. I told someone that my wife helped teach me to live. And Tuesday afternoon, she showed me how to die. To live is Christ. To die is gain. God has a prepared place for a prepared people. And before the foundations of the world, before we were ever thought, He in His love called us, chose us to be His. Then in time, He made us knowledgeable of that. Through His marvelous grace, He called us from darkness to lightning, to light that we might see in whom we have believed and be persuaded that He is able to keep us against that day. I'm so happy for the man that's already, I told him years ago that, you know, we want you to preach our funeral, but he preceded us many years. But I'm so thankful he came by, knocked our door, told us about the Lord Jesus. We didn't get saved right there. But a little time elapsed, and then I realized that I was a sinner. If Jesus Christ is Lord, I'm a sinner. And God revealed to me the Lord Jesus as the substitute for my death. And I said, I want Jesus to be my Lord. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, not a made over, not adding to little and a little, but born again by the Spirit of the living God. And I was changed. And that which was born within me, which cannot sin, is eternal. That which is on the outside is temporal. As I help my lovely wife, she was saved 10 days after I was. And we were baptized together in the same pool, raised to walk in newness of life. We were made new creatures in Christ Jesus. We weren't perfect in the flesh. Will not be. She is in the presence of God, perfect. It's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. Nobody promised us that. But he said that promised, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. And as we grew in the Lord, and people have been so kind to us all along the way to help us, I'm so happy that people didn't shoot me when I needed to be shot. That people didn't treat me like I treated them sometimes. But God would show me in His Word, and I would say, Lord, I believe that. I preach that. I love that. But it's not working in me. I want it to work in me. I want to be what God wants me to be. And it's not an easy thing to take on a warfare with the flesh. As long as a little child gets his way, everything's going hunky-dory. Boy, they're sweet. But man, if you cross them, all hell breaks loose. Even in a little old bitty sweet baby. And you think that doesn't multiply as you get older? You think you don't get worse when you think you're better? And you think everybody else is worse? That's just the flesh warring. And then God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Set your affections on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Press toward that mark of high calling. Then you begin to see the love in people and the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that don't have Christ, you understand why? Because you walked in that path. You know why people do what they do? Because that's what you were and what I was. You know, the kids, they're little. I told them the other day, maybe Stephen, my wife and I, we hadn't been saved just a few days. Teresa was 5 and Stephen was 3, and they're in this little old bedroom off of the little old hall off of the little old bedroom. And Mom and I was in the living room, and we had an old wagon wheel that my uncle had made for us, a coffee table out of really a historical thing. We had it, and that's the only thing in the living room, just about took up the room. But Mom and I were in there having a little discussion. And it's getting a little more heated. And then we're hitting each other's flesh. And I was convicted, and I said, honey, we don't want to do this anymore. We don't want to do this. We got to stop. Let's pray. And we got down by that old wagon wheel. We got on our knees. And about that time, I heard little footsteps coming from the other side. Stephen came and he looked. He went back and told Teresa. He said, they're not fussing. They're praying. And you know, we had a lot of fusses. And we had a lot of prayers through the years. And my wife become a great prayer warrior. Somebody's going to have to keep praying. She's in the presence of the one that teaches us to pray. And we walk through life and always getting a little closer to heaven. When people say, how you doing? I'd say, happy in the Lord, on the way to heaven. And that's where I am, on the way to heaven. Been on the way to heaven ever since. My wife, she was strong. Farm girl, picked cotton, worked hard, lived a difficult life, knew what it was to sacrifice, and never wanted anything other than what was necessary, and a lot of times wouldn't buy with money in her hand. She's left money that was given to her to buy something, and she just couldn't find the right thing at the right time. I told Teresa as we drove around this week, I said that that's the last place Mom and I went to. And I saw Mom lose her affection for things of the world and draw down till nothing is important. Nothing. Honey, do you want a drink? No. Honey, do you want something to eat? Oh, thank you. Thursday night, we had our goodbyes. That's a week ago tonight. And some of you, I've told it. I'll tell it over and over and over. But through the years, as we grew closer together, and things would be a little difficult with the health, my health, basically, all those years. And I'd leave her little notes that she would find after I was gone, and I'd tell her how to do certain things. Because many a time I preached from the pulpit, and she knew it, that I may never walk away from the pulpit. Several times I was taken to the hospital after I preached. Yet the Lord, by His grace, continued to help me regain strength. And I come to a place in my life years ago. Lord, this is one of those verses. Husbands, love your wives. And I said, Lord, I love my wife. I want to love her. And the scriptures teaches me how. And I said, I want to love unconditionally. Not looking to her to give me something. But what can I do for her, regardless? And there again, the chocando, the fighting of the flesh. Looking to the outward and still the inward. But overcoming by God's grace these things. And then, to shorten this, the Lord was really going to teach me how to love her. She was well. I was sick. I was well. She became sick. And just the other night, the scriptures, I was reading, thinking about it. About why? Not questioning God, but about how she became sick. And He showed me, He said, so you could serve her and love her and take care of her. And you know, we came back from the mission field, and I wanted to come back and see the children, the grandchildren, see these handsome, beautiful, lovely, fun kids. And she, my, honey wanted to come back too. And, you know, but I didn't want to stay. I didn't want to get grounded in here. I didn't want God to shut me down. And so I felt like God was shutting me down. And I was patiently waiting on the Lord. What we got? After 3 years of being back, nothing really going. We was getting ready to go back to Uruguay, a visit, went to the doctor, cancer. She was so brave. She took it. She didn't even cry. She said, "Doctor, I can't have cancer. I have a baby, a wedding to go to in May." He patted her. He said, "You'll probably make that." And they told her the other day with this leukemia in her bones and said, you know, in essence, set your house in order. She said, "But I have a great grandbaby that's going to be born in May." He didn't tell us that we'd make it. Will we make it? Maybe, he said. Let's see. We didn't. But she was brave. And as I said, the more I loved her, the more she loved me. And the other night, Thursday night a week ago, she said, I was turning out the lights and she was already going through these stages of sleeping all the time, just getting up, raising up. And there was three times that we felt that we would lose her, let her leave, made her, our hearts ready. And that Thursday night was one. She told me, as I was turning out the light, she said, "Don," she said, "can you come over here?" And so I came back over where she was in the bed, and she mumbled something to me, and I couldn't understand it. I couldn't. I said, "Honey, you're going to have to speak a little clearer. Just speak a little clearer to me so I can understand what you're saying." And she took a breath, and then she said, as clear as a bell, and a voice so beautiful and well, she began to talk to me there in the night with the light off, me on my knees by the bed. And she began to tell me how thankful she was. And she began, and I can't, there's no way that I can express what she was telling me. And just thankful for the children, for the grandchildren. She said, "God's given us such good children. They've never given us any trouble. We've got so much to be thankful for." And then the grandchildren. And she said, I'm thankful for this house." She said, "I know you never did really like this house, but I really like this house. It's been a place for the grandkids to come, and we always called it grandchildren friendly, our house. We wanted to fix it up and spruce it up a little when we come." And the good neighbors started dropping on us stuff that was really grandchildren friendly. And so our house has just been grandchildren friendly. And we love them, and I want them to come, and I want them to come be around Mom while she was sick. And though she couldn't hear them, maybe she could hear them, but she couldn't see them, couldn't touch them like she used to. But we loved them. She said, "I know this was a lot of work to you, and you wanted to be about other things in the work." And I comforted her. I said, "You know, I'm glad, and I know, and the kids have had a home to come to, and we like that." And then she said, "And I'm thankful for you. You know, I'm thankful for your love," she said. And it was so intimate. And she said, "I like the way you call me honey." She said, "I always have." She said, "I like the way you call me my little sweet bride." I said, "Honey, you are. I love you more now than when we were married." People don't know about love when they get married. They got high hopes. But you got to, you know, be a little deeper. She said, "I even liked you when you called me Henrietta." That was just between her and I, but now it's all out. I'd call her Henrietta when she goofed up. She said, "I didn't even mind you calling me Henrietta, because I knew you did it sweetly, kindly." Now, I wasn't always kind in years gone by, but in those last years, I worked at it. I don't mind people telling me, "I appreciate your kindness," because that's not me, that's Jesus. That's not Don Epler. So Thursday night, we had our goodbyes. And really, she was disappointed when she slept through the night and woke up the next day. And we had another till Tuesday. And there was Stephen and Teresa in the room, and we was praying. Teresa was making that long trip. She had been here, and Mary Margaret that played so beautifully here. And her little helpmate along the way, the only one of the children that could come and be of help to the mother because of many things going on back at the farm and in the school, in the church. And they're busy. But they sent their love and brought their love. And we prayed that she would make it before her mom went to be with the Lord. And the nurse there on duty with us, she said, told me just as she was going off duty and another on Friday, she said, I forget the days, but she wasn't going to work Tuesday, and that was her day to work. Monday she left, yeah. And she said, I figure that she will stay until Teresa gets here, and then about an hour longer. And she lived 4 hours longer after Teresa got here. And I believe she knew Teresa got here. But Teresa, Steve, and I, and the nurse called us. It was on duty. And we went. I'd been in the room all that time, and the kids had gone out to the funeral home. And they was just getting back in. And the nurse said, "Don, I'm going to ask you to step out. We're going to have a girl time here with Irene. And in 5 minutes, you and the kids can come back in." So they were just getting back, and I stepped out and come back the door. And they went in. Irene was lying there. She had been for all day, and I went over, and the nurse said, she was on the phone, and she said, "Gotta go," hung up and rushed over. And I was sitting there, and Mom was slipping out. And I cradled her head, my arms, the children there. I loved her. Kissed her one more time. Told her I loved her. And then all of a sudden, I realized that I didn't have Irene with me anymore. Just an old tabernacle of clay that we'd have to care for a day or two and then put it away. My affection is not here. My love has gone to be with her love. I appreciate everyone. I appreciate Virgil. It was so kind to me the first time I went to the funeral home. I appreciate the kindness that he showed my children. I appreciate the hospice workers. I appreciate the kindness of the doctors and the nurses that called her house. I appreciate the neighbors that came, brought food, and sat with us. I appreciate my family and my brothers and sisters. I appreciate my friends. And I appreciate the new friends. And I appreciate the friends that cannot be here. And I appreciate those that labor on the mission field. And I have received an invitation to hold a missions conference next month. And I said, I'll take it. Pray for me. I received an invitation to come to Argentina for a meeting. And I said, Lord, I'm back in the work. Ready to serve. To press on to that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. On the way home. And so the challenge is my pastor is going to come and share his heart that he has seen over these months in his wife and the friends that come from our church that are here today have loved us and comforted us and cared for Irene in a quiet, loving, and stood with us. Folks, why wouldn't you want to be a Christian? It's the best way. It's God's way. Why would you want to live and die? Then you leave someone that didn't know where you were. Thank you, Miss Irene. Thank you, honey. She stood with me. She could have left me. But God didn't let her. That which God has joined together is eternal. Who could fill her shoes? Maybe some. She's not the woman in the kind person that said of Proverbs 31. She's not the best wife that ever lived. She's not the kindest person. God knows that. I know that. She knew that. But we appreciate you saying it. Somewhere you saw something good in her. And that was God. You saw the Lord. And that was good. Wouldn't you want to live like that? I do. You think I don't love these nieces and nephews that come? You think I don't want them loving me? You think these friends that come up here and hug my neck, these little kids, come in here this morning and shook my hand and hugged me? You think that doesn't mean something to me? You think I'd give that up? You think there's anything better than that in life? You know, I always think it's good to be a Christian on the way to heaven. one footstep away from eternity. But in this life that God's given us to live, we want to live it. I told the kids yesterday, I said, we have only one opportunity to give Mom's old tabernacle a good goodbye. Only one. We want to honor God, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and love the brethren and be appreciative. And as we listen to the Word of God, you've listened patiently and intently to words that will fall on someone's ear. Maybe stay a while and drift away. But that which God has given us, His Word, liveth and abideth forever. And the living Word has come to dwell among men, to give His life so that we that were dead might have life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then you can enjoy this passage of Scripture that I'm going to read. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Just like a tree planted by the waters. That's what God's children are, that are receiving their nourishment from the Lord Jesus Christ, the living water. That you might be trees. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way the Lord wants us to look before men. And He says, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Well, as I said, Irene wasn't the best of everything, but she was planted by the Lord. The Lord gave her, and the Lord took her, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's listen to Joe one more time, and then my pastor and Brother Gary. Thanks again, Pastor. My pastor that's a preacher of the Word of God has come to share the eternal Word with you. And that's what Irene desired. We talked about it. We discussed this funeral. I asked her what she wanted. The Lord gave us in those time, that space of time, a lot of things that people don't get with some. And that's time together. And the opening of the heart that we could get down and touch base on some important things. And so to God be the glory.